Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks again for joining us this week. On this week's podcast, we will hear from Brian Parr, agronomist with Legacy Hemp in Wisconsin. We'll also hear from the owner and founder of Legacy Hemp, Ken Anderson. We'll also get some Midwest Hemp Council webinar and development details from Executive Director and Co-Founder of the Midwest Hemp Council, Jamie Campbell Petty. But first, as promised, we begin the program with Brian Parr, agronomist with Legacy Hemp. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Well, fantastic. We certainly do appreciate you being on the program with us this week, and it's certainly been an interesting couple of weeks going on here with the coronavirus, something we just can't really seem to get away from even talking about at this point. I know everybody's tired of hearing about it, but there's really not a whole lot else going on out there, so we've got to talk about it. It is pertinent right now. It's not the middle of winter. It's the end of winter, beginning of spring, and of course, as an agronomist, you're talking to the farmers out there. By the way, I will say Legacy Hemp, I should have said this, is located in Wisconsin. Does your growing season, planting season, begin a little later than the lower Midwest? I would assume it does.
Yeah, it does. And we, you know, we do actually have farmers across most of the upper Midwest, spanning from, say, North Dakota all the way down into Indiana. So we're kind of on top of that, you know, as the seasons change from state to state, and Wisconsin, you know, kind of right in the middle of that, where that zone is at amongst the states we're dealing with.
So during a normal planting season, do you guys tend to start with your clients and with the folks you work with to the south first and kind of work your way up, or does the season start the same time for everybody or for you?
Yeah, well, the season starts back in January for us, kind of reaching out to farmers, getting them excited about wanting to grow hemp, and just kind of making sure that we've got people wanting to still grow this crop. And so that's kind of regardless of where they're located. And we start this back in the winter time for planning purposes. And but yes, as the season continues, as we're getting into April now, we do expect those states and farmers who are further south, such as Indiana, Illinois, they're going to get started here fairly soon. And you know, as far as planting is considered for hemp, for grain, you know, ideally we'd want to be somewhere around that first couple weeks of May for these farmers that are a little more south. As we work up into, say, Wisconsin, Minnesota, we're going to look at maybe the middle to end of May, and then say North Dakota, probably the end of May to beginning of June. So just kind of a different window, and obviously, yes, we're focusing where the needs are going to be at first.
And again, you guys are not technically in the Great White North, so there's not a lot of difference from, say, Indiana, northern Indiana. But you have a little later starting the planting season. Does your season end a little quicker than the lower Midwest?
Actually, normally we're about the same. Mm-hmm. You know, the crop is going to mature based on day length. And for most of us, you know, maybe besides North Dakota, for example, generally speaking, the crop is going to be mature about the same time frame, which will be at the end of September or the very beginning of October.
And with the coronavirus, there's really nothing, I assume, stopping the farmers from getting their seeds and getting those in the ground, regardless of where they are.
Correct. Yeah. The only thing that we're seeing with coronavirus on the farming end of things is maybe a little more caution with farmers. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty out there, obviously, especially with restaurants being shut down. That's a big portion of what farmers are eventually their products are going to. So there's obviously some concern about that and what the future beholds. And we see that on the farmer level. But it, as far as the actual mechanics of getting seed to farmers or fertilizer or, you know, getting the crop in the ground, none of that has been really disrupted at that point.
Well, that's great to hear. And let's see if we can get through the rest of this without talking about the coronavirus. So with that, though, your take on the grain market for 2020, where do you think it's headed, and will this have much of an impact on it?
Yeah, well, I you know, that's a good question. And I think I believe you mentioned that my boss, Ken Anderson, will be on the show here a little later.
Yes, he will.
I'll let him speak to that a little bit more, being that that's his realm a little more than mine. But I do foresee there being some impacts to that market. Obviously, right now, we're working in states. There's a lot of states that have, you know, had this safer at home ordinance out there, and that includes some of the facilities we're currently working with. So, you know, once they get back up and online, we don't know when that will be, and we don't know how the demand for their products will be once this all gets back into a normal functioning society and country. But, you know, so I would say that there is some impact happening out there as to the extent. We're all hopeful that it's going to be pretty minimal.
Well, Brian, this was actually the second year farmers in Wisconsin have been able to grow hemp. So with two seasons under their belt, what's basically the takeaway from the farmers? Are they still excited about hemp, or are they cooling off a bit on the crop?
You know, the thing about Wisconsin, and I think we see this across a lot of different states, is that the vast majority of farmers, including Wisconsin, which I believe the number was about 94% of all farmers who grew hemp in Wisconsin were growing it for CBD production. And obviously, anybody who's been following that market here lately knows that there's really not much of a market out there right now. And so a lot of farmers have a bad taste in their mouth growing hemp for CBD. And that, I will say, has had an impact on our industry in the grain sector, in the sense that because a lot of farmers have not been able to sell their CBD hemp crop, the farmers that we're talking with, and even the same farmers who grew a CBD crop last season, they are extremely cautious of how the grain and or fiber markets are going to fare any different than CBD. And so we're seeing a lot more caution out there in, amongst farmers because of the inability for these CBD farmers to get their crops sold.
Why did they decide on CBD as opposed to grain? Was there an overall feeling that it would be easier to unload, or they had contracts that fell through? What was why did a majority of them go to the CBD side?
I guess the simplest way to explain it was sheerly money. There was a lot of talk about farmers making a tremendous amount of money per acre. You know, there is reports from different news articles and things like this saying that farmers could make, you know, $20,000 to $50,000 to $100,000 an acre if they grew CBD. And that just simply was untrue. You know, there were farmers at the very beginning of hemp back in 2014, 2015, 2016, who made somewhere in that neighborhood of those kind of prices. But as more and more farmers continue to start growing that CBD crop, the markets became a little tighter, prices became less and less. And we saw that with finally with the 2018 Farm Bill allowing federal legalization. Everybody wanted to grow hemp, and they wanted to do it for CBD because they thought they could make all this money on a per acre basis. And, you know, whereas grain and fiber crops, we are much more similar to all other commodities that are currently being grown, which is, you know, we put our blood, sweat, and tears into this crop, and we make a living off of growing this crop, and with no expectation that we're going to get rich off of one season's production.
Do you see some of the farmers moving from CBD to grain this year?
Absolutely. Yep. I've been talking to a lot of people since January, like I mentioned, to my surprise, a lot of them actually grew a CBD crop this last season, even though many of them had stated before that they weren't going to. And now that they've done it, they are kind of disappointed with the outcome. And now they're kind of getting onto the bandwagon of still wanting to be involved in hemp and see the future, the long-term future of what grain and fiber are going to behold. Now, granted, our markets for grain and fiber are much slower to develop, but they are a little more mature, particularly in the grain sector, being that the Canadian farmers have developed that market since 1998. So they've had 22 years to develop the grain market up in Canada, and now we're kind of jumping into that market and wanting to have a piece of that pie. which allows us to have a little more maturity in the industry because of the work the Canadians have done for this entire time.
And of those farmers that grew CBD last year, can you give us a ballpark, you being out there talking to these folks, how many of those have just basically thrown their hands up, said, I'm out of the hemp business altogether?
At least half. I've seen the numbers for Wisconsin. Just to give you a picture for Wisconsin alone, in 2018, which was our first season to grow hemp, we had 250 growers growing hemp, most of which were still for CBD. In 2019, that number went from 250 to 1,400.
Wow.
In 2019. I've seen the numbers from our Department of Ag already here just as of actually 2 weeks ago. Of those 1,400 farmers that grew in 2019, roughly 575 of them are going to grow again in 2020. So less than half will be growing in 2020. However, there are more than 600 new growers that are going to be growing in 2020, which basically means that our total number of growers will be virtually unchanged from what it was in 2019. We have less than half that are going to continue doing it, but a new set of growers who have never done it before are coming into the industry, leaving the number of growers unchanged.
And does the industry suffer from having too many growers, or would it be better to have fewer growers with better quality and more acreage, or more farmers with smaller acreage?
Well, it depends a little bit on the industry. If you're talking about CBD, I think the realization of just how much CBD, the oil demand there is a really good place to start. And we kind of went through this process on my own farm. I grew a half acre of CBD last year. To my realization, I was unable to get my crop sold here and just until about a month ago. And in that process, I decided I wanted to just investigate what it would take to turn my crop into oil and maybe go retail with it to sell it straight to the consumer. To my surprise, I was informed by an extraction company that they could produce just simply 1 acre. They could produce about 40,000 1,000 milligram tincture bottles off just 1 acre.
Hmm.
So in that case, you know, when we do the math of how many acres were actually planted across the country for CBD, we have enough supply out there to essentially supply every single human being currently in the United States for an entire year's worth of supply, and they would have to consume at least 50 bottles a year to completely consume all of what we grew last season. So in the CBD world, it's less about the quality of the product as it is the number of actual acres that are being planted. We had far too many acres being grown for what the actual demand is. And I would say that applies to the other two sectors of grain and fiber as well, is that this is a small industry right now. While everyone in the industry wants to be able to share what's happening here with everyone, including all farmers across the country, the reality is that at this point in time, there's not enough room for everyone to be able to grow this crop and get their products sold. There's just not that much demand for it in that realm. It's growing, and it will happen over time, but we have to be real with where the current state of this industry is at. And right now, we just don't have the demand to support all farmers who want to grow this crop.
And would that be both on the CBD and the grain side?
Everything. Yeah. And the fiber side of the industry would actually be even worse in the sense that there really aren't many people in across the entire country who are currently processing hemp for fiber. There was maybe a couple companies, one particular one in Kentucky here this last season, who was doing it on a commercial scale. They have since gone out of business because they simply didn't have enough demand for the products, the raw products that they were making. So there are a lot of R&D phases of industrial hemp for fiber, but nothing at a commercial scale yet that would require farmers to start growing hundreds or thousands of acres. It's just simply not there yet.
And with, you said last year, up to about 1,400 growers this year, you expect to be in that same neighborhood. Some will drop off. You've got new applications. Is it financially, is it economically beneficial for these people to be getting into hemp?
For the new farmers, I hope that they do their due diligence to research what's happening in the current markets. And I think the reality of half of the growers leaving the industry from last season is a good eye-opener for those who are looking to get into it. They should be figuring out why those farmers are leaving the industry. A good portion of them are doing it because there was more work involved than what they thought was going to require. Mm-hmm. But I would say that the vast majority of them are leaving the industry because they simply cannot find a buyer for their products. And that, to me, is the thing that, of more than anything else in the entire conversation, if a grower is going to grow industrial hemp, they had better find a market to sell their crop before they put a seed in the ground. Otherwise, you have to ask yourself the question, why am I planting a crop if I don't know where I'm going to sell it, or if I'm even going to be able to sell it? There's no, you know, I understand that there's farmers who like growing this crop and even on a leisurely basis. However, when we're talking about a lot of acres or a lot of money involved, we really have to be considering this factor of why are we growing this if we don't have a market for it?
In other words, you don't want to look at it as your financial well-being. It's something you can experiment with and grow with, but you literally do not want to bet the farm on it.
Exactly. And there were some farmers this last season who did. And unfortunately, I would hate to see the outcome of it. And I'm afraid that some of those who did bet the farm on it are probably going to lose their farm. And that is very unfortunate because our industry relies right now on a lot of information, and information can be hard to gather sometimes, mostly for the fact that you have anywhere you turn out there in the industry, somebody's trying to sell you something.
Sure.
And if they're not able to help you figure out how to sell the crop that you're looking to grow, why grow it? That is, if you cannot get a contract from somebody, you should really be thinking twice about whether or not it's a good idea to be growing this crop.
And the contract is not the end-all be-all. You still need to do a lot of research, because simply getting that piece of paper does not prevent that company from going bankrupt, going out of business before your check arrives and before it clears. So you certainly need to investigate who you're doing business with as well.
Exactly. And all the more reason to start small on a very small scale, to get familiar with this crop, get familiar with the company you're doing business with, and grow from there. This is a very, very new industry, and there's a lot of risk in it. And not only just growing the crop, which I have to deal with farmers, there's a lot of weather problems that are an issue with growing industrial hemp, but you also have the risk of now marketing, exactly like what you said, is the company you're working with who gave you a contract, are they going to be around at the end of the season to be able to pay you for
right.
that crop? So there's a lot of risk, and farmers usually are fairly risk adverse, people. We need that sense of, just common sense to be had throughout the industry, growing whatever sector you're growing for, whether it's CBD, grain, or fiber. Just do your homework.
All right. Once again, Brian Parr, agronomist with Legacy Hemp. Brian, we always appreciate talking to you folks up there with Legacy Hemp. Anything else we can add to the conversation that I did not hit on today?
Well, I just want to mention on the growing aspect of this crop, being that I do work a little more with the farmers, we really want to keep an eye on the weather. The weather has been pretty nasty the last couple of years. Whether you're growing hemp or corn or soybeans, it has not been that favorable, and that includes pretty much every state in the upper Midwest. Just be aware with farming industrial hemp that this crop does not like all the wet weather that we've been having. So if it looks like it's going to be a wet season again this spring, we really need to keep an eye on how the weather's going to be. so that we can make the best decisions in how we whether we plant this crop in the spring or not.
Well, Brian, let me ask you this as we'll let you go. Here it is, the first week of April. Last week, we talked to some folks in Kentucky, said it was pretty wet down there. Indiana seems to be okay this year so far. It was a very wet spring last year. How are things looking up on the northern side of the Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, those areas up there?
Yeah, I would say we're better than what we were last season at this point in time. As I mentioned, we're going to probably be looking at the first of May, middle of May, to start planting hemp. So we've got a month. We've got about 30 to 45 days to really evaluate how the weather situation is going to be. I think the forecast looks pretty decent. The other good thing about industrial hemp, at least for grain and CBD anyways, is that we can plant this crop a little bit later than other crops because of its response to day length. So even if we do happen to have to delay planting because it's so wet weather, we still can get the crop to mature before the end of the season and have a good yield at that. So, just because we can't get it planted at the very beginning of May doesn't mean we can't plant it at the end of May and still come out with a good crop. We just got to be mindful of the weather and plant accordingly to how Mother Nature is going to allow us to do that.
There we go. A great conversation. Some great information. Once again, Brian Parr, agronomist with Legacy Hemp in Lafarge, Wisconsin. You can look him up, legacyhemp.com. Brian, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us. Like I said, some great information there, and we certainly hope the best for our brothers up to the north.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jason.
All right, as we continue on, now we're going to speak with Ken Anderson, the president of Legacy Hemp. Ken, how you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Great. Well, thanks for being with us. And again, wanted to get some different perspective on what is going on out there. We've had Ken on the program before. And Ken, we want to talk mainly here about the economics of what's going on and how this coronavirus is going to affect hemp farmers, the ag industry in general. What are we seeing at this point still very early on?
You know, one thing that I've definitely noticed is that everything's just kind of in a holding pattern, especially even with farmers, which we all know that, they're going to have to get seed in the ground to, to be able to produce the crops in good crops. So they need to be able to get them in a timely manner. But right now, I think there's a lot of just kind of reservation on planting and just even I think. Not so much with the coronavirus, but with what's gone on in hemp production in the last few years. I think that's having more of a toll on the market than the actual coronavirus. But we are seeing a kind of just reservation right now on pulling the trigger and getting seed in the ground.
Well, we just spoke with Brian and we talked about the fact that there were maybe about 1,400 farmers last year in Wisconsin growing hemp. He expects that those about half of those to come back this year, only about half. But then there's probably going to be another 400 or 500 new applicants to grow. So the interest is certainly still there. Do you think some of those that are not going to come back and grow this year, maybe they just want to step back, see what happens, see how this year pans out, and then maybe they'll put their hat back into the ring next year?
Yeah, I think, what is I find interesting and kind of surprising is, we've, as far as with Legacy Hemp and even Legacy Hemp Ingredients, we've been strictly in the grain and fiber markets. And, we could have got involved in CBD before a vast majority of people that are currently involved in it even knew what it was. But that's not the route that we wanted to take because we see hemp in the agricultural sense. And I think that hemp, how we do the grain and fiber, I would consider that agriculture, mm-hmm. where I see CBD kind of horticulture, basically because it is. Mm-hmm. But yet there was this huge, no one was really talking about CBD in 2014 when we started in Kentucky with under 7606 of the Farm Bill. No one was really talking about CBD. And then CBD came around in probably mid-2015. It really got a huge push. Everyone started getting interested in CBD, and it just overtook the whole market. I mean, when people thought of hemp before, 2014, when the common person thought of hemp, they thought of marijuana. And we spent a long time differentiating hemp from marijuana, even though they're both the cannabis plant. And then it was like we had about a year that people understood hemp as grain and fiber. And then when the country knew of hemp, now, which everyone knows of hemp, they think of CBD. And I think that's really what's kind of, as far as in the grain and fiber, people that normally would have been interested in growing hemp for grain and fiber, they hear the horror stories of you know, the markets in all these huge promises of you know, great revenue in CBD, and then tons of people got burnt. But so now when people think of hemp, they're like, oh, we don't really want to be involved in hemp. And that's really unfortunate. You know, just like you talked about weather in 2017 in Wisconsin, you know, when we were contracting food grade crops only, because that's a whole nother discussion of no real secondary market if you don't have food grade crops. You know, you can't just put it into the feed market. Mm-hmm. So basically we had over a 90% failure rate of crops in Wisconsin in 2017. Now that's a black eye for us, and that's a black eye for the people that grew for us. But that was contractually, we contracted and we let everyone know that if it doesn't make food grade, we're no longer your buyer. We're only buying food grade. That hurt also. Now that we're starting to work through that, and weather's getting better, and you can never predict weather. But we're really growing. We're trying to grow in regions that can do a lot of food grade production. But the market right now is definitely kind of shy, and it still amazes me that, you know, Brian talked about over half the farmers aren't going to be back that are growing hemp in Wisconsin, but you still have another 300 to 400 more. Well, those ones that aren't going to be back are the ones that grew a bunch of CBD because they heard they were going to make $50,000 an acre, and then there was no market for it. But it's amazing to me that they're finding replacement. I mean, it's like someone learns and someone else steps up because of that huge inflated number of money that they can make. And unfortunately, it's following, you know, it's when farmers have been getting injured by the prices being so low for so long, they're at almost a desperate stage where if someone comes in and says, there's a possibility for you to make $50,000 an acre. Well, if you're trying to save your farm, you're going to jump on that, you know, sure. And then if it doesn't work out, you're in deeper than what you were before you started.
Ken, what would be the reality per acre of grain?
In net, after everything's all said and done, you're normally in conventional, you're at about $300 an acre is what you would net after all your expenses are paid. And that can be pretty good. You know, it's not 50,000, but it's real.
So as a farmer, when they come in and look at hemp, they're looking at one of two options, and that's the CBD side or the grain side. So it just sounds like they're being convinced by somebody out there to go the CBD route. So are we saying that farmers maybe need to do a little more research in what they're doing, or there is a great community out there of hemp farmers that do come together and talk? Yep. You know, how do you find that balance, and how do they, I mean, obviously if you're going for the risk, you want to get a nice reward for it. So in CBD, you hear those claims, you're going to jump on that. You know, how do you balance that versus going for grain, and you know, where are you going to get this information to make that educated decision?
You know, I think it's really talk kind of in the community, find other people that have done it. You know, and really, I mean, I think you can kind of tell the who you're dealing with when you're, you know, if the phone starts to go dead the second you buy some seedlings or clones or anything, and they're supposed to be your market afterwards, you might want to start looking for another buyer right away. But mm-hmm. be realistic in your expectations is what I think. I mean, because one of the things that we were talking about when this big boom was going on is we were telling people, look at the basics of market basics. You know, it's supply and demand. And basically, if you're a producer and you're being promised a price because of what the retail value is currently at.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do your homework and you find out that there's going to be three times the amount of production the year that you're getting involved, you can pretty much guarantee that that retail value isn't going to be the same when all of this product comes to market. So supply and demand. So I think it's really just do your research and talk with the people that are have done what you're wanting to do. And you know, that's also with us. Now, something that I mentioned as far as not having secondary markets, that's huge. Because you could, instead of having, you know, a $300 net return on growing an acre of a grain crop, if you don't make food grade, you could have, you know, you could have $500 into that crop per acre and not get anything back. So now you're net negative, mm-hmm. you know. So mm-hmm. these are some of the things that as the industry grows up and gets more established, we hope that some of these barriers get taken care of. Because even, you know, everyone's excited about, and you can now get insurance on your crop. Well, you can get insurance if you've grown previously, and they're just going to base it off of the numbers of what you've grown previously. So if you had a terrible net return, if you had a terrible year of weather and you yielded 300 pounds of grain per acre, that's what they're going to be basing your insurance off of until we have longer periods and we can have a normal that they can base off, an average that they can base off. So again, the industry being in the infancy is, you know, there's a lot of risk right now that you don't have the backups that you have in, you know, a grain or a corn or soybean crop that farmers are used to row cropping. You know, there's safety nets provided by the government and secondary markets that hemp just doesn't have.
Well, unfortunately, some of those growing pains that farmers are just going to have to go through and endure, but we know they're going to come out on the other side better for it. Speaking with Ken Anderson, president of Legacy Hemp, you can find more information about Legacy Hemp at legacyhemp.com. Now, Ken, we're going to give you a chance to do a little Legacy Hemp promotion here. You've got the Legacy Hemp ingredients, and that's a buyback program, so this could help some of the farmers out there. Go ahead and tell us what that's all about.
Yeah, so Legacy Hemp itself is our seed company. We sell certified seed to farmers. So it's Ayahuasca certified seed. It's not grab bag seed. You know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then our other company, Legacy Hemp Ingredients, we do contract acreage of some of the seed that we sell. We sell seed. If you have a buyer and it's not us, you know, we'll sell you seed. But we also provide a market for growers that if they want to produce under contract with us, we will buy back. We do total yield buyback of the crop. So whatever that acreage produces, we buy it all from you. Right now, our contract prices, we're at 55 cents for conventional and $1.10 for organic. And we buy back whatever you produce. And then we break it and sell it to our customers. So we also do now are moving into the processing. Currently, we've been using toll processing, but we're setting up processing so that we can get to our customers. And some of the products that we sell then are hemp oil, hemp protein cakes, our hemp protein, just seed cake, and also dehulled hemp seeds.
Well, fantastic. And again, if folks want more information, they can go to legacyhemp.com. Or Ken, is there another preferred way that you would like folks to get in contact with you?
No, legacyhemp.com is a great way to get in contact with us.
Fantastic. Well, Ken, we do appreciate your time, and we've had you on before. I'm sure we will have you on again. Somebody with a lot of experience in the hemp industry, and we always appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you for your time today, and everyone be well.
All right, and finally on this week's podcast, we're speaking with Jamie Campbell Petty, Executive Director and co-founder of the Midwest Hemp Council. Jamie, it's been a few weeks. Great to have you back.
Hi, Jason. Thanks. Good to talk with you.
All right, and a lot of things to talk about. We've got all kinds of neat stuff that you've been involved here. No rest for the wicked, coronavirus or not. Jamie's always on top of things, always got a million things on her plate. And we'll talk about a couple of those here today. One of those being the new webinar series coming up. I actually started this week, the Make Hump Day Hemp Day. Every Wednesday, Hump Day means something in the hemp world. Jamie, go ahead and tell us about that.
Hey, Jason. Yeah, thanks. That we did a launch yesterday, and all thanks for that goes to Hemplet Farms, Piper and Robert at Hemplet Farms were the ones to kind of brainstorm with this, and Purdue Extension, BioBin, our Midwest Hemp Council, all working together to bring these educational opportunities to the masses. Again, yesterday we had Dr. Maria Marshall talking about economics. And next week on the 8th, we'll have Marguerite Bolt, Purdue Hemp Extension Specialist. She'll be talking about last year's grow season and what to expect for this year. Those are every Wednesday until the end of May, and they will be from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock Central Time. So 12 to 1 Central, 1 to 2 Eastern. And if you go to the Midwest Hemp Council website, you can register for those straight from the website. And if you have questions, you will see Piper's contact information there, her cell and her email, and you can contact her directly.
Jamie, go right ahead.
The agenda is current through May 13th, so you can schedule ahead of time and know what we're going to be talking about. And we hope that you'll join us.
And you do need to get scheduled because we know that it did fill up this week, and I understand you're going to go ahead and make more slots available next week because we do want everybody to get in that can. So if anybody did try to get in late or register late, were not able to do so, they should be able to for next week, correct?
That's right. And we did expand in this new age where we're dealing with Zoom and so forth. You know, we're working out a few kinks. So it's very important to go ahead and get registered right away, get your information. And then what we will be doing is sharing the presentations on the Midwest Hemp Council website, and we will be loading the recorded version on our YouTube channel.
If they didn't get a chance to check it out live, even though a lot of people are sitting at home right now, just kind of staring at their computers, TVs, and staring out the window. But if they're not able to do that between 1 and 2 p.m. Central or Eastern time on a Wednesday, it will be archived and they will have an opportunity to see those.
Yes. But we're really encouraging people to participate live. It's an opportunity to submit questions and to interact with one another, because that is our goal, to make this interactive as we learn.
Well, and along with the podcast that we've been doing here for over a year now, actually, this is our, 62nd week, I believe, 61st, 62nd week, something like that.
Yes.
So well over a year that we've been doing the podcast, and then now adding the webinar series, and there's some more things coming up. So a great opportunity for folks to get that education, find out what's going on.
That's right.
All right. Now, we've also got the Midwest Hemp Council virtual networking, and that's every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 5:30. That'll begin next week, Tuesday, April 7th. That's at 5:30. Registration, I assume they can go to the Midwest Hemp Council website for that registration as well?
They will be able to. It's not live yet. We hope to have it live by tomorrow afternoon. We needed to secure all of our the members who are going to participate as Meet the Members. The reason we're doing this, as everyone knows, one of the footholds that Midwest Hemp Council has always been proud of is our networking events, where we would bring people together so that they could meet one another, talk about supply chain, become educated. It was very valuable, and it was something that our members were very in demand. They wanted that opportunity. Well, of course, we can't do that now. So we decided to bring this back virtually, and that will be every Tuesday and Thursday from 5:30 to 6:30. During that hour, you will meet five members. Each member will have 10 minutes to tell their story, to talk about their service or product, and to field questions from participants.
Oh, neat.
So that will happen every Tuesday and Thursday, 5:30 to 6:30. So we can't share adult beverages or food together, but we encourage everyone to get to their computer screen. We'll try and come up with some fun ways to draw everyone in. And then that will be for members only. That will be for Midwest Hemp Council members only to attend and to present their business and service plan. We are looking into making that available on YouTube to the general public. But for now, these sessions are limited networking events for Midwest Hemp Council members.
All right. So again, you can go sign up for the Hump Day Hemp Day webinar series. That is on the website right now. No reason to wait till next Wednesday to sign up for that. Get your slot right now. And then by Friday, they should be able to see the sign-up information or get the information for the virtual networking. That, again, is for members only. You can get that information on Friday. Should be up there by Friday. And speaking of members, let's go ahead and let them know how they can become a member and why they should become a member of the Midwest Hemp Council.
Great. So right now we're having a kind of an added bonus for our membership drive. If you go to the website and join right now, you will get, if you join as a Policy Circle member, you will get a free T-shirt and a free Midwest Hemp Council 2020 calendar. If you join as a supporting member, we'll send you a free calendar. So it's a good time to, if you've been thinking about joining, now's a good time to pull that trigger so that we can send you a T-shirt. You just let us know what size you wear. We'll send you a T-shirt and a calendar.
And, of course, a fine-looking calendar it is. I'm looking at mine right now. Hangs right in front of my desk. So one of the nice little perks you get for being a member of the Midwest Hemp Council, along with a T-shirt. And of course, the information, that's what you're there for. You mentioned the Policy Circle Call. Tell people what the Policy Circle Call is all about.
So every month on the second Tuesday, we have a Policy Circle Call for our Policy Circle members. And you'll be provided a call-in number. We may even go with Zoom this month so we can see one another and get some interaction. But it will be April 14th at 3 o'clock. And again, that's limited to our Policy Circle Call members. We do these the second Tuesday of every month and have for about a year. It gives us opportunity to get legislative updates, regulatory updates, not just from Indiana, but our surrounding states, the federal level, and to discuss events that are coming up. And also, if you know, people are encouraged to send in agenda topics. If they have things that are concerning or things that they want addressed, then this is when that happens. So second Tuesday of every month, Policy Circle members.
All right, and that'll be coming up April 14th. So become a member, become a Policy Circle member, and get in on that. All right, Jamie, anything else that you're working on that gives people an insight, gives them an opportunity to learn a little more about the hemp industry?
Yes, Jason, we're working with several different partners to put together a few webinars that we'll be offering separately. One, we hope, will be focused on seed labeling, seed certification, working with American Seed Trade Association, AOSCA, and New West Genetics. We're hopeful that we can put something together for our members to discuss that seed certification, seed quality. And then also with the new benefits that are being offered because of the coronavirus through Small Business Association and other entities, we hope to have a webinar very soon that will focus on the loans that are available, other funding opportunities, whether it's Small Business Association or economic development. And lastly, also Jessica Scott, who's the director of our Midwest Hemp Council Animal Feed Committee and is a board member of the National Hemp Feed Coalition. She is working on putting together a webinar on animal feed.
Okay. And we do have a section on the website for that, and that should really start kicking up here very soon.
We do. And really, Jason, just a lot of things are coming up. We have members that are doing webinars and gatherings. I can just encourage everyone to please check back on the website every day. Just give it a quick glance. Done looking at listening to the podcast, check out the website, because we are going to be sharing a lot of events. That's the way we're functioning right now. Everyone is doing webinars and virtual gatherings. So we'll be trying to share all of that via our website and then also on our social media channels. And lastly, I would encourage everyone, we have not filled the committees, all of the committees yet. So if you're interested in serving on one of the Midwest Hemp Council committees and you are a Midwest Hemp Council member, please email me and let's discuss that. We've got several committees from membership to cannabinoid to fiber grain, and we want to make sure that all the states are represented and all the various, whether it's grain and fiber, that everybody has a representation so that we make sure that we're doing our job to educate, to support, and promote.
Well, and again, in this time when everybody's lives have been turned kind of upside down with the coronavirus and people are at home, a lot of people maybe have lost their jobs or they may be changing jobs when all this is over. And a lot of people may have just a different outlook on life, different perspective, maybe want to go a different direction. Why not get involved in the hemp industry, get involved with the Midwest Hemp Council and go that route and learn something new and exciting and something that not a lot of people are involved in?
Yes, exactly. And we do have a lot to learn. This is still a new industry. There's no doubt. There's, you know, the news is full of the difficulties and the struggles, but there are a lot of success stories. And so we want to bring all of that together and bring those together that are committed to making this industry move forward. And there's room for everyone here. So we look forward to the opportunity to grow.
Jamie Campbell Petty, Executive Director and co-founder of the Midwest Hemp Council. Anything else we need to hit on, Jamie?
Jason, I think that's it right now, but I hope everyone will take full advantage of the podcast. I know I get new outreach almost daily, and the first thing I do is send those people to the podcast, and their feedback is very positive. These podcasts you have created are very informational. I have had much feedback about the fact that we don't focus on advertising and self-promotion. It is educational, and we're proud of that. And so we hope that members or non-members alike will take full advantage of that opportunity.
Well, we do appreciate it. And, of course, we're growing every week, every month, every year. And again, we do appreciate everybody listening. So, and, Jamie, thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this. It's been great, and we look forward to continuing on for, who knows how long. And as long as people are learning something, I guess we'll keep going.
Yes, I think so.
There we go. I know I learn every week, so that's something, I guess. But all right. Well, Jamie, thanks so much, and we will look forward to hearing back from you soon.
All right, Jason, take care.
All righty. And that's going to do it for our show this week. Thanks for listening, and we hope you will tune in again to the Midwest Hemp Council weekly podcast brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. You can find more information about the Midwest Hemp Council as well as our entire catalog of podcasts on our website. You can also find out information there about how to donate, how to get involved, how to become a member of the Midwest Hemp Council. And again, some great information there to check out. You can do that at MidwestHempCouncil.com. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks again for tuning in, and we will be back next week with more. So long, everybody.